Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us to see the light of this day. We appreciate your care for us in the week that ended yesterday. Your protection in our going out and coming in our journeys. Your strength, Lord, for our responsibilities. Your healing hands upon the sick and the afflicted. And provisions for the needs of the needy. Lord, we are here again in your house for another time of service. And we are trusting your grace. Lord, your word said that when we are weak, then we are strong. Lord, we trust you to help us today and stand for us, dear Lord. Your blessing that you have ordained for the services of today may not pass us by. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ, now we pray. Amen. God bless you. Okay. Let's read from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read from verse 9. From verse 9, we'll stop at verse 16. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the heart? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Romans 11, verse 28 and 29. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. Today, the Lord will permit. We want to speak on the gifts and the callings of God. And if we happen not to finish, then we'll catch up some other time. We'll first start with the question and answer, question 107 in the COD. Question 107, COD. This one said, Brother Abraham, if these questions are out of line, then just disregard them. And I won't feel bad about it, for I will know it was not the hand of the Lord. Question number one. Brother Abraham, I have heard you that I should be back in the ministry, and I've thought upon it myself, but I've waited upon some definite word from him about it. Up to date, it hasn't come. Now, since I know the end is so near, should I still wait for the Lord Jesus to speak to me? Or would he be pleased to tell you what to tell me, since I know you are his spokesman for this day? Is the question clear? After all, the question is in the all your phones, if you have the message there. Well, now, my brother, I got wrote down here my answer to it. You have not seen it yet. It's good you see it too. Because these areas we are passing, they are sensitive areas. And everybody must know that it's not a personal idea. All right. God calling this brother, a call in life. Now, there is one great thing we could just take that as a test and preach all night on it. See, that one thing, a calling. Make your calling and election sure. See, we don't want to be just wondering if we are called. You must be caught or you will be defeated. We are fighting a battle. See, and if you are positive sure, brother, that your calling is of God and you have been called of God to do a work, now there is a great trick there that the enemy can play on you. He can make you think you are not called when you are called. Then he turn right back around, make you think you are not called, or make you think you are called when you are not called. Vice versa, either way. And you have to watch it. And these are the areas that is treacherous. And that is why we want to calmly, the Lord being our help, to look at these things from the prophet and from the scriptures. So, just be calm. Now, here is the way to do it. First, find out. Find out first. Well, now, this is advice. Only thing I can give you on this is advice. And I think if this, as far as this generation is concerned, if you must take advice from anybody, I think the advice of the messenger is the best advice you can get. Isn't it? But make sure that your calling comes from God. And there are so many things that is involved to be able to come to this conclusion. And those are the things we want to look at, the Lord helping us in this service, both this Sunday school and in the main service. And then check your motives and objectives. First, make sure that it comes from God. Secondly, check your motives. Third, check your objectives. See, now you know what I mean by that. What is your motive for preaching? Do you think it was an easier job than what you have? Then you better forget it. It was not a call. Are we following? The prophet said, if anybody thinks that preaching will be an easier job than what he has, he said, the person should forget it. He said, because it's not God's call. A call of God born so in your heart you can't rest day and night for it. You just can't get away from it. It's just constantly grinding at you. And if you had to preach, you say, well, now, another objective. I believe at the job I've got, if I could be a successful evangelist or a pastor, have a good set salary, have a home that I could go into and so forth and live, then I believe that will be a good thing, much easier than what I am doing now. And really, I think it will be. Now see, your objective is wrong to begin with. So which means that the person is disqualified by God, not by man now, because we are listening to the prophet. And this thing we are reading that has to do with motives and objectives is only known to God and the person only. There is no human being on earth can know that one except the person and the one that created him only. But later, other human beings will get to know. We'll get there as we proceed. Amen. Right. See, it's not right. You are wrong there on that. Then you will say, well, maybe because that, I think maybe that I'll be more popular amongst the people. Popularity. See, you find out you are just ready for a big flop. Really. In other words, you are ready for a big disgrace. Because this pulpit is a place of honor and it's a place of dishonor. And you can be so much dishonored until you regret life forever nearing the place. It has happened to people and it is still happening. And it is still happening. That is the truth. Amen. Right. But now, if your objective is that I don't care if I have to eat soda crackers and drink branch water, I'll preach the gospel anyhow. Something just tearing into you. I will either preach the gospel or die. Then you go somewhere because it is God dealing with you. God is making himself known to you because it is God just won't let you rest. And usually a God called man never wants to do it. Did you ever think of that? That is another point that will be added to the ones we are highlighting. A God called man never wants to do it. Just recently, it was asked of me by some very precious brethren that said, now that we have come into the way, Brother Brown, now that we have found the Lord and received the Holy Ghost, shall we seek gifts for our ministry that we should do? I said, don't never do it. See? Don't ever advise people to do something like that, because usually a guy that wants to do it is a guy that can't do it. It is the guy that is trying to run from it is the one that God uses. See, if he's trying to get away from it, oh brother, I tell you, the calling is in me, but man, I hate to try that. Well, there you are, you see. That is trying to run. If he wants to do it so bad, the first thing you know, he finds himself a stuffed shot. That's pride. Like you say, God, you give me power to move mountains. I tell you, I'll do something for you if you let me move mountains. No, he won't do it. He can't even move himself to the right attitude. See, so he will never move mountains for God. Are you following? Somebody asking God for power to be able to move mountains. Brother Abraham said, he cannot even move himself to the right attitude. Talk less of moving mountains for God. You ask me, Why are we going this way? It's because it's part of the message. That's why we are going that way. And it's been planned for some time. But today, the hour has come. All right. Just like, for instance, like Paul. You think Paul could have got away from his calling? Oh, brother, he couldn't do it. It was just grinding at him day and night till he left his church. He left everything. He went down into, I believe it was Asia. We know what the scripture says. Wasn't it? No, Arabia. And stayed there and stayed 3 years down there studying the scriptures to find out whether it was right or wrong. See? To find out whether God had really called him. So if God is calling you, brother, and he keeps digging at your heart, then I will say, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. But if it is not digging at you, then I wouldn't think too much about it then. Just let it come to its place. It's another language that forget about it. Amen. Now he said, this brother said here, Brother Branham, do you think that God will speak to tell him? I believe God will speak right straight to him. Because you know, we are not too big, but what he can speak to us. He will speak to us, all right, see? He will speak to us. And I tell you, if he told me, then the brother might say, well, he told Brother Branham, so praise God. But you see, it ain't Brother Brown giving you the call. It is the Lord Jesus giving you the call. See, and if it is the Lord Jesus giving you the call, he will do the speaking. See, I could speak to you to your ears. But when Christ calls you to the ministry, it is in your heart. See, that is where the thing has to anchor, and you can't get away from it. Now, I believe on the second question. Now, if there is any question on that, any question to it, see, that a man's call has to be in his heart, coming from God, and another brother, I know who this is that wrote this. See, I know who wrote it, a precious, dear, gracious brother that I truly believe has a call of God. But I wouldn't want him to do it upon mine. That is the reason I answered the way I did. See, upon me saying, well, yes, brother so-and-so ought to go into the ministry. Now you see, Brother Branham told me I ought to do that. See, and maybe what if something happened to Brother Branham? I get killed or die or get away. Then see, your calling is over then. But if Jesus calls you, brother, as long as there is an eternity, it will still be ringing out. And then you know where you are standing. Amen. Now on the second, or something like this, knowing that it is the last day, I sure appreciate that for that brother. I certainly appreciate that of that brother, realizing that we are in the last day, and the sincerity of his heart, wanting to do something for Christ. We are trying to lay the background. And the background is just upon the word of God. We have plenty quotes to look at today, and also plenty scriptures. We are first of all looking at how God does calling. I preached one time here or twice on a calling of God. That calling of God wasn't called to the ministry. It was a calling as a Christian. How God calls. And I don't know if some people can still remember that happened some times ago. A calling of God. That it is a supernatural call that God gives everybody. Amen. If God does not call you supernaturally and you come by yourself, you will still go by yourself. Amen. Let's see if we can read one more or two before the Sunday school is over. When we come from there, we go into real business. Also now from God commissioning Moses. From part of paragraph 5. Let's drop our thoughts back tonight to the God commissioning Moses, the prophet. He had done wrong. He had got away from God and had slain a man. And he went back on the backside of the desert and married a woman back there by the name of Zipporah, an Ethiopian. And he had two children born to him by her. And he was adding Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep, way back on the desert, on the backside of the desert, running from God. Just like a man running from his calling, taking off the material things. There is probably a many a man set tonight that if he had just done what God told him to a long time ago, he will be preaching the gospel somewhere. Do something, don't just stand still. If you are not a preacher, testify. Do something somewhere, don't stand still. If you are washing the dishes, why? Testify to the neighbor. Get out and pass tracts, do something. Don't stand still, what is in hand? Get doing something, and whatever is at your hand, use it. And I can see Moses, as he was going along, herding some sheep. One morning, probably thinking about the days. He was about 80 years then. Some people say, well, I'm too old. Moses was 80. So he had been 40 years. God tried training him back there on the backside of the desert. And then getting him ready, preparing him for the service of the Lord. Moses, as an example, he was running, God was calling. And even when God appeared before him in the supernatural, he began to give his excuses. He said, I'm a stammerer. God said, who am I, me man to speak? Your brother is there. He said, look, at the end of all the arguments, he told God that, look, send somebody else. Then God was angry with him. Then God told him, we are going together. I'll go with you. Then he took off. In the message preparation, paragraph 61, the prophet has this to say. That is the trouble of it is when a preacher begins to learn how to begin to have a calling to the ministry, they will take him away to seminary and keep him there about 20 years and take all out of him God ever put in him. That's right. Then bring him back and he just knows so much that man that nobody can tell it. That is the way it goes. And when he comes back out, it's worse than when he went in. If God calls you by grace and by power, stay with it. That is right. Now the prophet used Moses as an example in two ways. In one way, the prophet said that Moses, when God called him, he was trying to run away from the call. In one place, the prophet said, when Moses happened to know that God ordained him to be a deliverer, he said he wanted to do the job in his own way when God has not yet equipped him. And he said because of that, he was only able to kill one man. And even the one man he killed made him a fugitive. He has run away. If he did not, Pharaoh will kill him. This same Moses, but Abraham said that the things he learned in Egypt for 40 years. Say God took him to the wilderness to take them out for another 40 years. And then he said God can train a man for 30 years as he did John the Baptist and use him for only even 30 minutes. He is God. Nobody questions him. He does what is pleasing unto him. Moses, okay, let's leave him for now. All this we still talk about them later. I want to read another quote here. I think we still have a few minutes from the Mercy Fellowship, 1960 June 11 Fellowship. Well, I couldn't get the quotes to the projector people, so because it was a battle whether I should still push it forward or today. Paragraph 5. Brother David, and he's speaking there of how that the old body fitly joined together. That is wonderful. That is exactly right, Brother David. When we can, each one of us has a different ministry. Each one works different. Each one of you has a ministry, a separate ministry. All that comes into Christ has a ministry. Amen. Though we are talking specifically today about the fivefold ministry, but generally the prophet is saying here that all that comes into Christ has a ministry. And that is in respect of Ephesians, let me see the verse, chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, that body is the body of Christ, and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now the body of Christ represents our physical body. Now from your neck down, you bring out one part that is useless, that doesn't play any part. You bring out just one part. Or maybe because you have 10 fingers, say there are plenty. So you cut off one. That then see how the other ones work. We are coming to church this morning. We saw a man that was going this way. No, by his dress, you can know that this left hand is not there. Because he was wearing a top, short sleeve. And from here, the thing just fall to this place. You can see this hand very clearly. He has lost one hand. He can't function like somebody with two hands. Put a load and ask him to carry it. If it's not what he can carry with one hand, he'll be looking at it. When he goes to the bathroom, anywhere this right hand cannot touch, it's not washed. So many things in life that he will not be able to do. Though he's talking, he walk about, he dress, he will have a wife and have children and the rest of it, but he's not complete. People that see him know he's not complete. Himself know he's not complete. He can't enjoy life the way every other person enjoys life. Not just like we had on Wednesday, the senses of the body, when they are not complete, you can be led astray. All right. So the prophet said, each one of you has a ministry, a separate ministry. All that comes into Christ has a ministry. That is right. Not only the preacher, but you have a ministry to something. Something you can do. And I hope this don't sound sacrilegious. But usually God has to drive you into your correct ministry. Amen. So Methodist brethren, the other day, I just received the Holy Ghost. They are farmers up in Indiana. And they was just all on fire. And he said, I've been reading some books, said Brother Abraham, should we all come together now and seek for our ministry? I said, no, you ruin yourself doing that. I said, you don't do that. I said, a man that's always seeking for God to do something, such and such and such a things, usually don't amount to very much. It is a man that doesn't want to do it. That is the one that God can use. See, look at Moses. and Paul and different ones running from it, trying to get away from it. You take a fellow that is always, Lord, I will do this. If you do this, and things like that. God knows it will be a stop shot anyhow. So he just takes somebody who don't want to do it and say, maybe I can use him a little while till he gets to be one. So that is about it. It's you try to get away from it all the time. Great ministries has always been somebody trying to get away from it, not one who is always, because let God do something for them, and then they are all puffed up, big, and how great, and everything. But a man that doesn't want to do it, he just forced to do it, he just forced to do it, and then he wants to get away from it as quick as he can, get out of sight, and that is usually the way that God works. There are ministers today that we know. No way that is in the faith. Ministers today, just because everybody can punch the phone or the iPad and bring out quotes. That is tough shot. That you can see that inside of their heart is empty. We see it. You won't know much of that, but we will see it. When we go to the minister's meeting, you will see sometimes empty barracks trying to make the loudest noise. Where they are supposed to sit down and be taught, they want to teach the elders because they think they can punch the coat. After the coat you punch out, there are still beyond it. And some of them, as we speak, are making a shipwreck. And those are the things we talk about. But may the Lord be gracious to us. In the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, I read it, then we close. I can see the superintendent on his way to ring the bell. Paragraph 253 and 254. No man, no person, no woman, boy or girl, I don't care who he is fit to go in the pulpit or even claim to be a Christian without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You have no right to the Lord's Supper or any communion, feet washing, or anything until you have been cleansed by the holy fire of God. No man has a right to preach unless you, like Moses, meet him out there on that sacred ground, that pillar of fire hanging there where he knows where he is at. Amen. We will come back to the main service. We'll continue from there, shall we bow our heads? Gracious eternal Father, this that has gone forth, it has gone. We cannot recall it back because it is your word. With the ones that will be added to it, we will ask that your spirit will rightly place them in our heart that it may accomplish its purpose. Help us as we look up unto you today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.